the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 434-1790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought to you in association with the very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Hey, look at you stepping out in a designer dress and brand new shoes.
Well, I step up my winnings with Red Hot and Wild Nines.
It's the new Red Hot and Wild Nines. $10 instant scratch ticket from the Barbados Lottery with over $900,000 in cash prizes and 20 chances to win with a top prize of $100,000.
So you play Red Hot and Wild Nines yet?
Yes, but I didn't get new shoes like you.
Why not?
Because I'm not walking.
Step up your winnings with the new Red Hot and Wild Nines instant scratch ticket from the Barbados Lottery.
All right. Well, it's not often that you say a clean sweep by the West Indies. Yes, indeed. In the ODIs, the West Indies winning all of the matches. And we want to congratulate them, as they say, from near and from far. In the T20s, the West Indies won 2-1. And now we look forward to the test matches. That test match, the first one, will start on Sunday, which is a rather interesting day, a rather strange day to start a test match on a Sunday. But we're going to be having, of course, the West Indies do battle against Sri Lanka. And I would imagine that given their success in the T20s and in the ODIs, the West Indies will go into this test series looking pretty good, ready like Freddy to bring home the bacon, as they say. Other news, of course, the big elections are on for the presidency of CWI. That's going to be a talking point on the show this evening. In fact, just around 6:45, we hope to speak to those trying to unseat our good friend, Mr. Ricky Skerritt, Anand Sanasi, and Calvin Hope. They're expected to join us, and we want to have an interesting discussion with them. No doubt about that. That election slated for March the 28th. So we're looking forward to talking to them. Without any further ado, let's go and get some clarity, because only a couple days ago, there was an article which came from the Chronicle in Guyana, and it stated that Sir Clive Lloyd, of course, we know him very well. It stated that Jason Holder had really overstayed his time, basically, and Sir Clive not at all happy about what in fact was said, and I know that he's quite upset. I remember a couple months on this show we had a situation where he made a comment about the West Indies side going to England, and a writer actually did in fact put something in the papers that Sir Clive didn't say at all, and I know that matter has been seriously taken up by Sir Clive. So let's go and get that clarity from Sir Clive before we start our show. Let's go to London. He's not in Lancashire, because in fact, when the writer wrote that story a couple months ago, he said he's speaking from his Lancashire home. But we know that Sir Clive did in fact play for Lancashire, and that really gave the writer away. Really, he's living in London. So we thought it important here on Mason and Guests to clear the air. So we're going to go to Sir Clive. Hello, Sir Clive. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Andrew. And how are you?
Good. All right. Now, I know you're quite upset, Sir Clive. There was an article written in the Chronicle. That's in Guyana. And your reaction to that article, based on what was written, apparently you didn't say these things at all.
Never said anything like that, Andrew. I find it so disrespectful that people can just do as they like, put your name to something and say that you have said that. No, that is wrong. You know, I never said anything like that, and the lawyers are taking it up again. These I don't know what sort of reporters we have down there at all. I'm very disappointed with the reporter and the reporter. I think a friend of mine spoke to the sports editor of the Chronicle, and he was even, he didn't even come back and and explained any and explained anything, really. So I am very disappointed because I never spoke to that reporter, never gave anything like that to any other reporter in the West.
In fact, it says Holder has outlived his usefulness in the position, says Lloyd. And cricket legend Sir Clive Lloyd believes the man he installed as West Indies captain some 6 years ago has outlived his usefulness in the position. That's how the writer started, Sir Clive.
Yeah, but I think that is totally wrong. It's really, disrespectful, as I said. And the point is, never said anything about Jason in that manner. He's a guy that, Jason's a fellow that, I am the person that, sort of promoted him as such as captain. I have the highest regard for him, and I will never go out to say anything like that for anyone. I'm not that sort of person.
In fact, Sir Clive, when I saw it, I said that's not the man at all. I was completely taken back by the headline. Holder has outlived his usefulness in the position, says Lloyd.
Yeah, that's libelous, I would think. There's no way I would say anything like that. Well, what do I have against Jason Holder? Not a thing. Not one thing. I don't hold any grudges to it, or anything like against cricketers or anybody for that matter. The point is, Jason didn't go to Bangladesh. Another captain was appointed. He did very well. And it's up to the board to do what they want to do. I have no say in things like that. It's obvious that the guy surprised everybody with the way he handled the side. And that's it. So the point is, he's still going to be there helping, working towards getting a better West Indies team. And I think that's what everybody would like. We are quite ecstatic when we won the ODIs and and the T20s. I think it was a marvelous, and long may it continue.
Sir Clive, so have you spoken to the reporter since?
No, a friend of mine spoke to
the editor.
And he said to come back next day, and he said the guy is not there.
Oh, dear.
He didn't know the guy wrote the article. Now, what sort of sports editor know that you're accusing somebody of something? And you don't know about the article. I find that very strange.
And I know you're very upset over it. And it's not the first time this happened, because on this show, sometime last year, you were misquoted as well, Sir Clive.
Well, right, and that went, and I think that is still in court.
Yes.
And I think the guy says that he spoke to me, my home in Manchester, and I don't live in Manchester.
Oh, dear.
So that's where he's messed up the first place. And the point is, I think it's so wrong with these people doing what they can do what they like. And because I'm living somewhere 6,000 miles away, I probably wouldn't see it, And so they can do as they like. And I find that very, very disturbing.
Well, I know that Dr. Ford has joined me, and Philo Wallace as well. I don't know if Dr. Ford or Philo, you want to react to this. This is not good at all. Good evening to you, Doc, and Philo as well. Doc?
Hi. Good evening, Andrew, and to all the listeners, and Sir Clive and Philo. Sir Clive, this, as we've said, it's happened a few times, but do you think you engage with journalists enough that they can write about your opinions in this manner? And does it disturb you that maybe they don't reach out to you to really get your opinion on cricketing matters?
Well, the point is that I think most of the journalists I respect, and they know me. I don't know this guy. And I think if they're making statements of that and they're not gathering them, they should find out first who said it. Did you say it? Did you speak to anybody? Said he heard it somewhere. Well, you can't do that. That's not journalism. And I think it's terrible that we have people in the West who can just say what they like about somebody, and, devil takes the hindmost. No, I'm not. I think that's libelous. And I want to, anytime something like that comes up, anybody should be able to go to the court and get it sorted. Now, this is not good at all. I have a great...
What was the resolution of the last... Clyde?
Sorry?
What is the outcome of the last time there was a difficulty like this?
Well, Andrew would know it's a couple of months ago where this guy from Trinidad Guardian wrote something, said that he spoke to me. And he never did.
Oh, dear.
Because he said I was in my home in Manchester, and I don't live in Manchester.
Mm.
And there's only one Clive Lloyd and another David Lloyd. So one is black and one is white. I don't think he got mixed up.
In answer to your question, Dr. Ford, that matters before the courts. And I do know that the noted attorney, Ralph Thorne QC, is dealing with it. So that is a matter that is before the courts. In fact, had Philo qualified, Philo might have gotten the job. Hello, Philo. What a way to bring you in.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, yes. Dr. Ford, and obviously my good friend, Sir Clive. We had this discussion on Sunday morning.
Yes.
Sir Clive and I, when you see these big boys calling your phone, you know you got to know where everything is.
You got to be careful.
And it shocked me, actually, when I read the story.
Yes.
It shocked me because I said...
That's not Sir Clive.
Sir Clive? No way. And he called, and we went through it, and I said, look, Sir Clive, you need to protect your reputation.
Mm-hmm.
You are a former West Indies captain. You're a former Guyanese cricketer captain. You're an icon within the eyes of the world in relation to cricket. And obviously, Jason Holder has been recommended when Sir Clive was chairman of the selection panel, and he would have made a recommendation on what he saw within Jason and what he thought Jason could have done for West Indies cricket. 5 years and a half on, maybe Jason didn't live up to the expectations. But knowing Sir Clive, who has managed me successfully, would not have said those things. And I think he's doing the right thing to protect his reputation. Mm-hmm. And journalists need to respect the former greats and anyone with opinions about certain issues when it relates to cricket or anything at all. You just cannot use people's names because of their greatness and say they say this and they say that. And Sir Clive, I really want to ask you, I hope that you're going full tilt with this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave any stone unturned. Because at the end of the day, examples need to be set about these journalists who think that they can just use people's names behind stories and concoct stories and give you a bad impression and make you look bad in the eyes of the world. Not even public now, in the world, because you're a world-renowned former great cricketer and captain.
Well, the point is that
how
Jason feels about this, or the Barbadian people feel about it. So the point is that they are harming my reputation. Good, and I think I think it's terrible that they should do something like that, and it should just go unheeded. No.
Mm-hmm. Sir Clive, have you reached out to Jason Holder?
Well, I left a message on his phone. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't replied,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just want to let him know what was the situation,
mm-hmm.
that I've never said those things, mm-hmm. and
Well, I hope he doesn't believe that story.
Well, I that's what I'm saying. People might think, if it's come out like he must have said it.
Mm-hmm. Doc, any final words for Sir Clive? Because I know that, but he's not going to employ you because you are, he doesn't have a skin problem. I know that he's speaking to a very good attorney in our good friend Ralph Thorne QC. So that matter is going to be dealt with. Yes, Doc.
Well, Sir Clive, I know you're very constructive and you try to motivate and inspire the team as you did with your last letter that you wrote for the team in Bangladesh. And I urge you to keep doing that. But sensationalism and negativity is something that I think journalists as a whole may spend too much time on rather than being more objective about their opinions. And I think that's something, a take-home lesson for us all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I get that. You know, I mean, they're damaging your reputation. I mean, I'm people respect, they think if they see, I've written or said something, they don't know it's got, they think it's gospel, right? And the point is, when I wrote that letter, I sat down right here, I wrote the letter, sent it off because I wanted to give them that lift.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody was giving them a chance of doing anything. And they did extremely well. And I was quite happy because I'm a West Indian. I might live in England. I haven't played for China or Singapore. I've played for the West Indies. It's given me my upward mobility. Mm-hmm. I'm known because of what I've done for the West Indies and for Lancashire. So I find it very strange that my country and a countryman could write something of that nature and it just goes out and nobody says anything about it. That is wrong. We have to be better. We are better than that.
So, Clive, what would you like to really say to Jason, your own words, rather than the words concocted by a journalist? What would you like to say to him now, so that just in case he's listening, that he would know your true thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jason would know that I am the person that I have the highest regard for this young man.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to him when he was about 17, when he was going into the academy. He asked to speak to me, right? He asked Esther to speak to me. He said, this young man is there. And we spoke for about an hour and a bit. And we went through all sorts of, and I was impressed. And I'm saying, this must be our leader. This is a guy that could lead us.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that he has a great part to play in our cricket. This guy has got all the credentials to be a top-class cricketer. And I hope that he stays with us for as long as possible and continue his career, you know. And I hope it doesn't damage our relationship because I still think I have the greatest respect for him. And the point is, you know, somebody else is captain. You just go out there and do your stuff. You know what I mean? This is not the end of the world, you know. And I hope that he understands where I'm coming from. And I wish him, the team, all the best because we are now on a winning run. When was the last time we had this sort of success? So we want to get together, work together for the betterment of our cricket. I want to see our cricket get to the top again. And now we have competition for places. Guys now know that they can't be complacent and that our cricket must get better.
Mm-hmm. We're now joined by another legend, Derek Murray, who is Trinidadian, as you know, but he's now living in Jamaica. So what a combination, Sir Clive Lloyd and, of course, Derek Murray. And Derek, hello, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening to you and all your listeners, viewers, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And just allow me to indulge in saying a very special hello to Clive. always special. I'm always following him, so it's good to be on the show with him.
Right. All right. Now,
thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, Derek, your reaction to the West Indies' impressive performances, I mean, you had a situation where they won the T20s to one, and then the ODI is a clean sweep. Your reaction?
Very, very good. You couldn't ask for more from the team, the performances, and that's a really good result to have taking that momentum into the test series now. And we seem to have two or three series following close after, so I think West Indies cricket is moving into a good place. So hopefully we will also see, and this is another story, some improvements in the administration and governance, and then, you know, you can really feel comfortable that West Indies cricket is going somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And before we get a reaction from Sir Clive and, of course, Phil Wallace, the Test series, it starts this coming weekend. With this kind of performance in the T20s and the ODIs, I would imagine the West Indies will be very confident going into the Test matches, Derek.
Well, they should be, and also remember that the last two Test matches we played away from home, we were victorious against the odds. So, you know, obviously, Phil Simmons, the coach, Craig Brafford, the captain, have found a formula that worked for two Test matches in Bangladesh. And as I say, on the back of the momentum of the T20s and ODIs recently, I would think that they would be really looking forward to this Test series now against what could well be a depleted Sri Lanka team as well.
Mm-hmm. Philo, your reaction to the good performances coming from the West Indies?
Andrew, it's been a very good performances, I must admit, from the team concept. Some individuals obviously put their hands up, and you know, the guys who scored hundreds and were consistent. Shea Hope was the outstanding batsman in that ODI series. Bravo came good in the last game, and Evan Lewis showed some consistency. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. One of the things we can also look at is that there's an improvement in the running between the wickets. It's all that kind of stuff. I still think that with Pollard, I would like him to have a settled position in our batting unit, mm-hmm. rather than juggling up and down. I think as captain, you need to be central and in the batting. And I think he should also look to bowl a bit more. Pollard, I don't think he should underrate his bowling. He might bowl some innocuous deliveries, but I think he can get wickets. But all in all, it looks good. I think we still need that third seamer. We saw that they brought in Addison Phillip for the last ODI, which surprised me. I thought they would have given Kyle Mears a little run, seeing that he's in the Test squad. But obviously, the firepower is needed, but we're still looking for the right combination within our bowlers to obviously look to make impact when we have to, particularly in the middle overs. Jason Mohammed was our leading slow bowler, was our leading wicket taker with 6 wickets, which was a bit of an unknown. But what he bowled, obviously, was effective enough to get those wickets. So there's still some areas, but all in all, you can see the team looking to do well, because they won cricket matches. They won some of those one-day games with their backs against the wall, particularly the Nicholas Buran coming in that back end and scoring those runs. Mm-hmm. So those are good signs to show calmness, and they obviously won it convincingly in the end. So it's something that they can move forward with now. And down the road, they have Australia coming and South Africa as well. Two harder sides.
Mm-hmm. And Pakistan.
They need that kind of, Pakistan as well.
Oh, yeah. Baba Azhar. Yes. Good player, Philo.
So they have 3 good international teams coming to the region, which is going to obviously set us up well to where we really are in relation to ODI cricket. And I wish them all the very best moving forward.
Mm. Sir Clive?
Yeah, I think it was a wonderful performance. It's no doubt we had 300s in the one day. So, and I believe it is because of the way our players played in Bangladesh. When the chips were down, they got down, they put their heads down and batted intelligently and won. So it galvanized those other guys to do the same. We had 274, 270 odd, and, you know, we looked good. We batted well, but the chips were a little, you know, again in that last one day, the T20. But we won through because we're getting that feeling, we're getting that professional attitude back. And that, I think, is because of the guys winning in Bangladesh. It gave them a bit of a lift. They were, no, we can't do this. We have to perform well. And they did. In all aspects, our fielding, times could be a little, raggedy, but the point is that everything else has fallen in place. And I think Philo is right there. I think the captain needs to bat in a settled position where he can come in and dominate. He's one of those guys that, just like Chris Gayle, he can hit the ball you know, on off the back foot or the front foot, you know, quite well. So he's got to be in there to sort of to change the situation. And yes, I think we look good, and I think we should do well in this test matches. Mm-hmm. The test matches that are coming up. And not only that, it gives us a chance to do well against the bigger, the
right.
stronger teams mm-hmm. coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to start beating the bigger team.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And that would give the youngsters that impetus that is needed mm-hmm. to take them forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to spend a couple of minutes with Derek. I know he's a very busy man. He says he's just got 15 minutes. So, Jim, let's spend a couple of minutes with him before he goes off. Derek, the squad has been named. Craig Brathwaite, Jermaine Blackwood, Brathwaite the captain, Jermaine Blackwood the vice-captain, Bonner, Darren Bravo's in the side, John Campbell, Ryan Cornwall, De Silva, Josh De Silva, Shannon Gabriel, Jason Holder, Alzari Joseph, Kyle Mears, Kemar Roach, and Jamal Warrican. Your reaction to the squad that was selected, was that predictable, Derek?
Very good squad, yes, and I am pleased that they kept the players from Bangladesh
mm-hmm.
Together as the nucleus of that team. I think Clyde made a very important point that the momentum that came out of Bangladesh has sent some real messages to the West Indies cricket team. There's nobody in the team who can feel complacent that they have a place in the team regardless. You know, there are going to be competition for places. That's really important. And the attitude that, you know, people went there, were being written off, etc., they turned it around and they have competed. And that message went to all the players. You could see the difference in the certainly in the one-day games against Sri Lanka here, everybody knew they had a role to play, a responsibility, and they had to play that role. And you could see the whole team being different. If we win a couple more games going forward, winning is going to be a habit that we regain and we understand how to win. And that is so important for Simmons and Brathwaite to keep that momentum going and going into the next set of one days, T20s, white ball, red ball, whatever we're going to play. The captains have to continue with that kind of assertive, aggressive, confident formula that carries us to being able to win. And I think it's really good to have that competition. In terms of the test match squad, my own preference would have been to have seen not just the team announced for the first test, but they could have announced 14 players for the two test matches. I would have loved to have seen Shehu back into that group of players. He feels that he now can come back and you know, look to cement a place in the test team, because I think he's one of our top-class players. And you know, I think we need to let players know, listen, we've got to really work every opportunity we get in this team. We've got to make it good. Otherwise, there's somebody breathing down our necks to get a place. And everybody wants to play for winning team. So I can't say how important it is for us to try and keep that winning form.
Mm-hmm. Doc, any questions for our good friend Derek, before he goes
off? Sorry, I should have also said hello to Philo and Doc. I was very rude at the start of the day.
You are forgiven. You are forgiven.
Leave it, Derek. I hope you're fine, man. It's okay. It's all in that excitement. West Indies are winning.
Derek, we've had our euphoric moments. We've beaten England at home. We've won test matches in England on two different tours. How do we really measure and assess the trajectory that we want our team to be on in order to be competitive in the upper echelons of test cricket? Now that we've played Bangladesh and now we're playing Sri Lanka, two teams that are in the lower echelons with us right now. When the stronger teams come later on, do we support or do we bash and ask to chop off heads and that sort of thing if things don't go well? Do you think we should support and try to nurture and allow the team to develop, knowing that the stronger teams can cause results that we may not be this euphoric about?